Amen. Thank you, Brother Dolar. If you're at home, take your Bibles, please, and go to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. If you want to stand up and stretch those kneecaps and maybe do some jumping jacks, and that way you're ready for the message tonight, go right ahead. I'm going to read you just one verse tonight out of Proverbs chapter number 10, and then we're going to read more verses of the chapter as we get into the message tonight. But of course, we're in our series, Foolproofing Your Life. And am I okay on my lapel here, guys? Great. Foolproofing your life. And I don't know about you at home. I don't know about you here in the room. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to do things foolishly. And I've paid enough dumb tax in my life. I'd rather not pay any more. And but we all do make mistakes, of course. But I don't want to be a fool. And so this message series has been very encouraging to me, as we've had several of our men preach last week. Brother Gonzalez preached a great, great message. If you didn't hear that, you can go back and listen to it. But tonight I wanted to preach out of Proverbs chapter number 10. The title of my message tonight is The Anatomy of a Foolish Son. The anatomy of a foolish... What makes up a foolish son? Look at Proverbs chapter number 10, and I'm just going to read you verse number 1. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a what? Let's say that together, maketh a what? If you're at home, you say it out loud. Ready? A wise son maketh a what? Glad father. I feel like Dora the Explorer when she asks a question. But she, which way should I go, left or right? Yay! Anyway, all right, next here. But a foolish son is a what? Heaviness to his mother. For the last century or so, there's been a strong theme in American culture. Hard work, perseverance, individual responsibility. These are character traits that have carried our country through difficult times, and many families, indeed, have been carried through this these times in this great land, regardless of where you're from, nationality, skin color, place of origin. Families and people have prospered because of these character traits. In more recent years, there seems to be an emergence in our society of a completely different methodology. Instead of individual responsibility, it's now social dependence. Instead of providing for your own family, there is a sentiment of entitlement. Instead of respect for authority, there is now an attitude of rebellion. How many of you have seen this in our society as it's leaning away from the principles of hard work, individual responsibility, and respect for authority? Throw a thumbs up. Don't throw a thumbs up, but because that's not a thumbs up worthy. But how many have noticed that in our society? As the next generation in this chapter will personify the next generation as the son, my son, or the next generation. He says here, a son or a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. We could personify the next generation as the son or the daughter, the next generation. A wise son makes the father glad, but a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. There's a strong connection between rebellion, defiant words, a foolish heart, with poverty, wickedness, and shame. All of those things are connected. We'll find this out in this chapter. There's a strong connection also between respect, obedience, a wise heart, wealth, righteousness, and joy. All of these things are connected. They're not necessarily independent of each other. Tonight, as we consider the anatomy of a foolish son, may we all determine not to be like him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that whether folks are at home at their kitchen table or maybe sitting at a couch or whatever, Lord, I pray that you remove distractions. Holy Spirit, use me tonight. I know, Lord, I'm not worthy to stand here to preach this message. Lord, I'm an unworthy servant. But Lord, I pray that you'd use me, work through me tonight. And Lord, through your word, would you work through me? And maybe, Lord, somebody tonight will determined not to be a foolish son. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated, if you're not sitting down already. There has always been, in history, there has always been a rebel. I think about Satan in the Garden of Eden. I think about all throughout history in our life. There's always been the rebel. There has always been the fool. This verse that we read here, a wise son maketh a glad father, and a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother, is a principle that really transcends any family type, any time frame. It's a principle that transcends all of those things. Call them hippies, call them hipsters, call them whatever you want. There's always been those who openly rebel against their parents, against spiritual authority, and against authority in general. The truth is tonight that even though there are many who outright rebel against authority, there also exists in every single one of us the potential for foolishness. We all have this potential. May we start tonight by asking a question, asking ourselves the question, am I foolish? Do I behave like a fool? Do I make decisions like a fool? Do I speak like a fool? I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life, I'll say something or do something, and I will think to myself, boy, that was awfully foolish. I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't type that. I wish I didn't put that out there. And many times I walk away from a conversation or I walk away from a decision and I think, boy, I should have prayed about that more. I understand all of that. Every single person listening to this message will say that at times we make mistakes and we're foolish, but there's a difference between making a mistake and doing something foolish and being a fool, living the fool's life. Perhaps we should ask ourselves the next question. What do I want to be? Do I want to be a fool? Do I want to sound like a fool? Do I want to act like a fool? Do I want to be known as a fool? Maybe tonight you're not as self-aware as you ought to be and ought to consider your life and walk circumspectly and look into your life and think to myself or think to yourself, am I behaving like a foolish son? I don't want to be a fool, and I know you don't want to either. So how do we avoid that in our life? As I mentioned, we all have a foolish streak in us thanks to the sin nature that we carry. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's in us. It's part of who we are. And so we all have that in us. It's something that we have, but we don't want. And so perhaps tonight we can dissect the foolish son and see if there are similarities in our life. And so tonight, this message, I hope, will help you. It is geared somewhat towards the younger people, maybe teenagers and young adults, but all of us can glean from this and it can help us all. But here's number one tonight. Number one is this. What is the anatomy of a foolish son? Well, let's look at what Solomon says. Look at verse number 2 in your Bibles there. It says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a what? A wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Number one tonight, a foolish son is a lazy son. A lazy son is a foolish son. Now, my kids make mistakes, and that's okay. They would rather play than do their chores. That's understandable. They're kids. This is what children do. I said, this is what children do. They would rather play their games then do their chores every single morning at about 7 o'clock during the summer, earlier during the school year, about 7, I wake up my boys and I say, guys, it's time to go outside and start our chores. And every single morning they complain. Oh, chores. But you know what? They're young, they're kids, that's to be expected. Kids don't really want to get up. They don't want to do their chores. That's what children do. A child would rather play an Xbox then go to work. That's what children do. Once in a while, my 5-year-old doesn't do what I tell him to do. You understand that? If you have kids, children don't understand responsibility. They don't understand that they're supposed to do the work and they're supposed to get it done. It's something that parents must train and must train and must train and must do their best to train their kids. But kids have a tendency to not want to work because they are kids. But when you get older, laziness should fade away. Laziness ought to fade away. It ought to be something that we grow out of. Hard work and perseverance should take the place of laziness in our life. And in our culture today, we have a lot of young people who 25, 26, 27 years old, still living with their parents. Their parents are still paying their cell phone bill. Their parents are still paying their health insurance. Their parents are still paying for their cars. And I'm not against parents helping out. And of course, that's necessary sometimes. And that's what your parents should do, is help you and all these things. But may I just say, as a 25-year-old man living in his mother's basement, it's time to go get a job. It's time to get away from being lazy, because a lazy son is a foolish son. Why can't a 25-year-old show up for work on time? Boggles my mind. Why can't he keep his job wiping tables at McDonald's? Why can't a 25-year-old complete a single college semester? Why can't they pay their own cell phone bill? Because they're lazy. And maybe you're a young person watching tonight and you say, I don't have to watch this. And you probably just turn me off. But the Bible says a wise son will hear and will increase in learning. And maybe you're listening tonight and you're having a hard time with these things. And guess what? College is hard. And guess what? Working is hard. And guess what? If you're going to have anything in your life, it's going to take hard work. And so get off the couch and quit playing your Xbox 7, 8, 9 hours a day and go get a job. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Move out of your parents' house. Go to college. Do something with your life. Don't be a lazy person. I wish I was talking to just 25-year-olds tonight, but there are some men and some ladies tonight, well past those ages, who are still lazy, can't hold down a job and can't show up for work. And you complain about your employer and you complain about this thing. And I'm just simply saying tonight, as Solomon said to his son, listen, don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. A son that sleepeth in harvest, what? Causes what? Shame. There's a time for relaxation. There's a time for work. But there's a time for harvest. My wife is an avid gardener. She loves to garden. And I enjoy it too. It's very relaxing, and I enjoy the work for that. And so right now we have corn growing. We got a little bit of corn there and some beans, and we got some cucumbers, and we got all kinds of stuff growing. And we planted this field, this big field of corn and stuff like that. But in Stockton, we have the curse of the weed. And we have billions and billions of weeds in our property. It's like insane. And where my wife planted these cucumber plants, I installed these drip lines down there. You know, these things, these rows are like 30 or 40 feet long. And this, I mean, it was like water. We started putting water on the dirt. It's like, poof. I mean, it's just like weeds everywhere. And my wife, every morning, 2 hours pulling weeds. It's like, what in the world? It just takes a lot of work. But you know what? When the fruit grows, and right now we have a plum tree that's just loaded with plums. And guess what? When you don't pick the plums, they fall onto the ground and they get wasted. You got to go out there and you got to pick the fruit. You got to pick the things on the ground. Otherwise, they become wasted. Because in harvest time, it's a time to work. And so a son, here, this of course is written in an agrarian society, a son that sleeps during harvest is a son that wastes the substance. He wastes the time. And all I'm trying to say tonight is that a lazy son is a foolish son. We should not be lazy. I said we should not be lazy. I believe Christians ought to be the hardest workers. If you would rather hang out with your friends than go to work, it's not because you're a fun guy, and it's not because you're the life of the party. It's because you're lazy. Don't be lazy. I like hanging out with my friends. I enjoy working with my coworkers here at church, the staff here. I enjoy those kinds of things. I enjoy vacations. But there's a time when we ought to work and not goof around, but not be lazy. Why? Because that's what a foolish son does. It was fine when you were 9, but you're an adult now. So it's time to work hard. Amen? By the way, teenagers, you get a job at McDonald's. Listen to your pastor. Don't have a bad testimony. Don't be on your phone while you're supposed to be at work. I'm just giving you some practical advice. But don't be a bad testimony at work. Don't be on your phone and be talking to everybody. Be working. Be the hardest worker. Your boss ought to come to you and say, hey, I noticed that while everyone else is goofing around, you're still wiping tables and doing stuff. And you say, well, nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to work hard. You work hard anyway. You're getting paid. You might as well work hard. Amen. And so be a hard worker, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Listen, men especially ought to provide for their families. I don't know about you, but I'd rather work 2 or 3 jobs And make sure that we pray. And I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I just think you ought to work hard. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide or overseer. Nobody told me what to do. Nobody told me how to do it. Nobody showed me the way. Listen, if you consider the ant, by the way, if you're being paid, you ought to be doing something. My dad taught me that in construction. My dad taught me you never stand around. If you're standing, you're wasting money. And so just some practical tips for you. Look at verse 8. Providing her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? Hey, don't tune me out. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? How long wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands of sleep. So shall thy what? Poverty come as one that traveleth and want as an armed man. Hey, we all make mistakes. We all struggle with laziness in our own lives, in our own ways, but that's something that we ought to work on because we don't want to be a foolish son. I've made plenty of mistakes. I remember I started a job when I first got married, setting tile, and I told the guy that when I got the job, I told him I knew how to set tile. And I didn't really know how to set tile. And so I watched my dad do it, but I never did it myself. And I started setting tile and just kind of going off memory and watching my dad. And I made some big mistakes. But one of those, I did the shower one time. I tiled the shower and I didn't do it right. And the tile was leaning off the wall like this. And you look at the shower, it kind of went like this. And my boss called me and he said, Perry? He goes, we're going to call the shower the Leaning Tower of Perry. And he's like, I'm going to fire you. But you know what? He didn't fire me because he told me, he said, you're a hard worker. You're a hard worker. I should have got fired. But, you know, you can make mistakes and we all make mistakes, but being lazy is a different ball game. A lazy son is a foolish son. And a lazy son or daughter causes shame. You might think to yourself, well, doesn't everyone have a lazy streak? And doesn't everyone, you know, deal with that? We all in our flesh have some laziness, but listen, the problem with just being lazy, well, what's the big deal? The problem with being lazy is it's connected or attached to other problems. A man that's lazy will also be a complainer. Well, I don't get paid enough, and these people don't work as hard. And so oftentimes when we're lazy, we also become complainers. A man that's lazy will often be rebellious. Brother Asprella, you don't make everyone follow this rule. You don't, and on the list goes here. A man that's lazy will often be a thief. When you're being lazy at work, you're stealing from your boss. Can I just say something tonight with all the tenderness and love I can? Your boss, your employer doesn't owe you a dime. He doesn't owe you, are you listening tonight? He doesn't owe you anything, or she. You work for your money. You work an hour, you get paid. I know we live in a society where we'd rather, you know, stay at home and get paid. All I'm trying to say is not according to God's economy. You work for what you get paid. A man that's lazy will often have a sense of entitlement, and on the list goes. So the first diagnostic question tonight is, am I lazy? And listen, we all have that fleshly lazy streak in us. We need to whip it in shape. We need to get up on time and read our Bibles and work hard. Tomorrow when you go to work, be the best. You say, I don't like my boss. Hey, you know what? Don't worry about your boss. Work to please the Lord. Work to please Him. Amen. All right, number two here. So a rebellious son is a lazy son. And then a foolish son is a lazy son. And then number two, a rebellious son is a foolish son. So we have a lazy son, and then Solomon talks about the rebellious son. Look at verse 6 with me at Proverbs chapter number 10. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Notice this, but a prating fool shall fall. That word prating means idle or idle talk. In other words, you do all this all the time, but you don't put any action to it. So a wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool, an idle talker, shall fall. Oftentimes we have words with no meaning. We say things, but we don't put practice to them. I like to call that Facebook. Words with no meaning. Constantly posting things and doing things, but you know, complaining about the government and complaining about this and complaining about that, but yet we don't put practice to what we believe in. And oftentimes we're a prating fool. And listen, may I just say, as Christians, there's a lot of things that you could like and post and all these things, but may I just say, as a Christian, strive to be encouraging. If you're going to post something, do something that has good behind it. And all God's people said, amen. We all have a little bit of rebellion in us. We all do. You say, Pastor, I do not have a rebellious streak. Yes, you do. Recently, I went to Home Depot, and I would like to think that I'm not as rebellious as I used to be, but I still have some rebellion in me. And the other day, I went to Home Depot, Brother Johnny, and I walked up to one of the entrances there, and I know this has happened to you in the last several months. I walked up to the entrance, and guess what they said to me? You can't come in this entrance. You got to walk all the way to the other side of the parking lot, passing 85 people, breathing on them all the way down there. Instead of just walking in this entrance where it's just you and me, you got to walk all the way down there and go in that entrance. And that happened to me the other day. And Brother Asprelli, here comes the rebellion, baby. You are now, are you kidding me? You're going to tell me what interest I'm going to get? Blah, 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 blah. And so we all have that in us. You're not going to tell me to wear a mask. Well, bless God, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm going to wear a mask. And mark of the beast if I wear a mask. And we have this rebellion in us. We all have it. Why? Because we're born with a sin nature. We often find ourselves boasting things and saying things that we know we shouldn't say, but it's in us. It's ground deep in us. Solomon says here in verse number 7, the memory of the just is blessed. Nobody goes to a rebel's funeral and says, man, he was awesome. Boy, that was just great. No, no, no. It's not just. It's not blessed. But the name of the wicked shall rot. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Our rebellion brings us nothing. Listen to me carefully. Our rebellion brings us nothing but shame. Now, oftentimes when I get rebellious, I think the reason why I get rebellious and probably the reason why you do is because we think that we're right. We think that we have a right. We think that whatever case that is. And oftentimes, just like going in the wrong entrance at Home Depot, when that happened to me, I wanted to say, no, 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 you're not telling me what to do. All that does is bring me what? Shame. Why prove that I'm right, or why prove my point here? All it's going to do is bring shame. And so our rebellion brings us nothing but shame. A rebellious nation brings shame upon the previous generation. A rebellious generation brings shame on the previous generation. This is why Scripture is so clear. In this generation, we should give honor to the previous generation, whether it's a son to his parents or parents to their grandparents, but we ought to give honor and respect and obedience and deference to the previous generation. Oh, I know I'm preaching something tonight that a lot of people don't seem to understand or agree with, but we ought to be respectful and we ought to honor our previous generation. As a son, I remember when I turned 18 years old, something happens to a young man between the ages of 16 and 18. And it's something that happens biologically and naturally. God puts it in the heart of a man or in the mind of young men to leave home and go start their own families. It's not God's intention for young men to live at home until they're 45 years old. Just FYI. It's God's intention for us to go out and start our own families. And if you're living with your parents and at home, there's different circumstances, I understand. All I'm saying is God's intention is for us to go out and to start our own families. So at 18 years old, that's why the son all of a sudden is arguing with his dad. I just don't understand my dad. And the dad's like, get out of my house. And there's this conflict. Why? It's a natural process where it's the prickly nest syndrome kind of thing, where the son starts thinking his own way and he wants to start his own family. And I understand that. I mean, my dad, I know he's watching tonight. My dad and I have different opinions on different things, but I'm never going to say one negative thing about my father or my mother. And all God's people said, you say, well, your dad was a good person. Your dad is a good person. I understand that. But I know people whose parents weren't good people. They don't talk about bad about their parents. And listen, all I'm saying tonight is we ought to honor the previous generation. That's the opposite of a rebellious heart. There are many verses in Scripture. And listen, I know there are some listening probably at home, and your parents were, you know, your dad or your mom, you didn't know your dad. And I know there's a lot of extenuating circumstances. But if you had good parents tonight, and if your parents are still alive especially, listen, we ought to go out of our way to honor our parents. Amen? Young people, listen to your pastor tonight. If you're watching, you're a teenager or a young person, don't put something on Facebook that's going to hurt your parents. Well, it's my right, and I have my own opinions. You're a punk. Knock it off.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. You're not honoring your parents. You say you're a Christian. Here's the Bible verses right here. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Matthew chapter number 19, verse 19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Mark chapter number 10, verse 19. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Those are all big. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, but defraud not. And honor thy father and thy mother. Luke chapter number 18, verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And also, honor thy father and thy mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know the verses, Ephesians chapter number 6. Listen, the anatomy of a foolish son is a rebellious son. In today's standards, I see this happen a lot where young people, they turn 18, 19, 20 years old, they start to disagree with their parents in some fashion or another, and they go on Facebook or they go publicly and they say things against their parents. Don't do that. That's not honoring your parents. You say, well, I can say whatever I want. That's a rebellious spirit. I don't always agree with my dad, and although I think I agree with him 99.99% of the time, but I'm sure there's something we don't agree. I mean, he likes Fords. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you, Dad, why you like Fords, but something happened to you. But I like Chevy. Although that Bronco, Brother Dolar's got me thinking. Amen. The new Bronco. But, you know, he likes Fords, I like Chevy, whatever. But I'm not gonna go against. And listen, don't be a foolish son. Don't be a rebellious person. Listen, you say, I honor and respect my parents. Listen, honor and respect authority. Don't be rebellious. Don't have a rebellious spirit. I need to move on. I need to close. We have number three here. We see the anatomy of a foolish son so far, as Solomon has said. And I know I'm condensing this down. Otherwise, we'd be here for 2 hours. But the anatomy of a foolish son, first of all, is laziness. And a son that sleeps in harvest causes shame. And then a foolish son is a rebellious son. And then lastly tonight, a scorning son is a foolish son. A scorning son. Now you say, well, I'm not a scorner. I could just check out and eat some ice cream right now. Now just listen, stick with me here. Notice these verses. Look at verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now notice this. He that winketh with his eye causes sorrow. We're going to talk about that right now in just a moment. But a prating fool, remember the word prating, idle words, shall fall. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up. I love that verse. How many of you have ever been hit with a rod? I know I have, literally and metaphorically. But anyway, when I was in eighth grade, Brother Asprelli, I got paddled in eighth grade. If you got paddled in school, would you throw up a thumbs up on Facebook and tell us why you're psychologically damaged? I'll never forget that day. And it was a great big old paddle. It looked like a frying, patty thing. It had holes in it. And I'll never forget. It was me, the principal, and the janitor. And we're in there. And I thought the janitor was going to take a few whacks at me, but it was just boom. And, you know, it didn't really hurt, but it was humiliating. I'll tell you that right now. Brother Asprelli keeps it every year. He says, can we bring back corporal punishment in school? And every year I got to tell him, no, we just can't do that. And we were just talking before church started. His son, Chris, my son, Callum, And Brother Gonzalez's son, Grayson, those three are going to be in kindergarten together this year. I know. Pray for the kindergarten teacher. And we're just going to get her a subscription to marijuana right now so that way she can handle that group of kids. But anyway, all right. Speaking of spanking at school, amen. All right. Anyways, let's see. Where are we at here? Look at verse 14. The wise man lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Verse 15. A rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred. Notice these verses. Notice this. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Now I want to just talk about scorning here for just a moment here, because a scorning son is a foolish son. To scorn, you say, what does that mean? It means to have extreme contempt, to disdain someone or a person, to have hatred for their opinion or the way that they think. It's a conscious hatred for someone's belief or a feeling of superior worth. And I know the definition's there for you. A scorner will mock, or ridicule, or laugh at the beliefs, morals, or opinions of others, specifically his parents or authority. In other words, may I just say tonight, if you're a young person and you're online saying things against what your parents believe, you have become a scorner according to the Bible. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter how badly an authority figure has disappointed you. To mock or to ridicule or to laugh at authority places you in the category of a scorner. And that is not a category you want to be in. You may disagree. You may have strong feelings about someone or something, but to openly go against anyone in authority, to criticize or condemn authority, will put you in the category of being a scorner. Sometimes I hear when a Christian flippantly speaks negatively, flippantly in my presence, will speak negatively against another pastor or another ministry. This happened a few years ago. Some people were coming up telling me stuff about another pastor. And my response to them was, do not talk to me about that pastor. Amen. I don't want to be in that category. That pastor, that church, whatever, that authority figure, that whatever, they're going to stand before God and give an accountability of the decisions that we made. We don't need to say a word about them. And all God's people said, amen. I'm not talking about covering up sin. If there's sin, obviously, it needs to be said or dealt with. But when it comes to another pastor or another ministry or another, we do not speak negatively about them. I think about in recent days, the uproar against the police. You're putting yourself in the position of a scorner. Even speaking negatively about our president. I remember when President Obama was president, and I remember conservative friends speaking against him, and it always bothered me. No, I don't agree with his politics or whatever, and there's things that President Trump does. Obviously, we don't all agree with everything that's done, but we do not speak evil. We do not criticize authority. That puts us in the position of being a scorner. Somebody at home say amen. I'm telling you right now, don't put yourself in that position. By the way, parents, when you eat the president or you eat the pastor for lunch, all you're doing with your kids is instilling a heart of rebellion in their life that eventually will come out against you. I know parents, and I've dealt with parents. I've been in this church now for 17 years now, and it's been a wonderful many years, but I've known parents that have spoken ill against this pastor or that pastor and gone against this and gone against that, and now their kids don't want to have anything to do with their parents because their parents instill the heart of rebellion in their kids. Think about that for a moment. Sometimes authority doesn't make the right decision, and sometimes authority does things we don't understand. We got to be careful of being critical, because I don't want my kids to have a heart of rebellion. I don't want my kids, and I don't want to be in the place of a scorner, amen? But I'm right. I'm right about the way that I think. Listen, sometimes we think that we're right, and we're not right. Sometimes we are right, We don't need to be a scorner. I think about the story in the Bible where the verse that says that not even Michael would bring an accusation against the devil. Think about that for a moment. Let me give you letter A here. A scorner visibly opposes their authority. A scorner visibly opposes. Look at verse 10. He that winketh with an eye causeth sorrow. That word wink with an eye can be translated. We could, if you look it up, you could figure out that it has the idea of rolling your eyes. Has your mom ever caught you rolling your eyes? Woo, Lord help you, amen. I remember one time I was a teenager. My brain rolled out of my head one day, and my mom said something to me, and I did this thing. I rolled my eyes, and she thumped me right on the throat. Bam! And I was like, oh. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. But, you know, when your kids roll your eye, you tell it, hey, take out the trash. Oh, that's a position of a scorner where you visibly oppose authority. Sometimes I've seen people sit in church services with their arms crossed. I was in a church service one time where a guy actually yelled out at the pastor while he was preaching. Hey, you blah, blah, blah. Scorner, don't be that way. Listen, God's going to judge you harshly as a scorner. There's a lot of Bible verses that talk about that. I'll give you one in just a moment. But don't be a scorner. Hey, don't visibly oppose the police. Don't visibly oppose the president. Don't visibly oppose authority. There's times and places for voting. There's times and places for all that. I understand all of that. But a scorner has a visible opposition. Proverbs 9:7, he that reproveth a scorner giveth to himself shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. It's not worth it rebuking a scorner, by the way. Some of us have this tendency to want to say things when we see stuff online. Somebody posts something on Facebook and we think, oh, I just need to say something. Don't do it. I said, don't do it, because if you reprove a scorner, he will what? Hate you. No, if they're talking bad about their parents, talking bad about God, talking bad about church, whatever, on their Facebook, there's no need to say anything. They've already reached that stage, that scorning stage, visibly. And then next, your letter B, a scorner verbally opposes their authority. Look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. There's a typical characteristic of a scorner. They often will point to the hypocrisy of others to justify their opposition of authority. They point to the hypocrisy of others to justify their position of being a scorner. And may I just say, like I said, any authority figure, anybody, they're going to stand before God and give an account for what they do. But we're going to give an account for what we do, whether others are right or wrong. You don't want to be in the position of a scorner. Here's a few things to consider. Righteousness leads to life. Doing the right thing, saying the right thing, helping others, being encouragement. I think about right now today, as you're watching at home, oh, there's so much stress and there's so much anxiety and even depression right now. People are just at their wits' end right now. And if you're watching tonight, I understand. And oftentimes I feel those things with you right now, the pressure of all this. And most of us here tonight are just done with coronavirus. Amen. We're done with shutdowns and masks and all these things. And of course, like my family and others, they have folks that are sick. And it's just, boy, it's a very stressful time right now. And I posted a very short video today to just say this. Listen, one of the greatest things that we could do for ourselves right now is to be an encouragement to somebody else. There's something about, listen, tomorrow, I want to just challenge you. Don't go on your Facebook. Don't repost anything that's political. Don't repost anything, this is how coronavirus spreads. Don't do that kind of stuff. Just go online and post something that's positive and try to be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe just send five people a text message. I prayed for you this morning. I prayed for you this morning. Hey, I prayed for you this morning. And just be an encouragement. That'll lift your spirits. That'll help you. Righteousness leads to life. Doing the right thing, saying the right thing, helping others. All of those things will be an encouragement to you, help lift your load. But listen, wickedness brings violence, and love covers sin, but hatred stirs up strife. Think about those in our country today stirring up strife, and instead of living peaceable lives and providing for their own families, they're constantly complaining about not having enough or how they're being treated. And listen, that's what happens when we're lazy. That's what happens when we're rebellious. That's what happens when we're scorning. We become disappointing sons. We become a disappointment as the next generation, but we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be a foolish son. We want to be a wise son. I don't have time tonight. I have to close. But if you read verses 24 down through the end of the chapter, you can read some things of what a wise son is. I'll just give them to you. I won't preach them, but just give them to you quickly. A wise son is a righteous son. Verse 24 and 25, the fear of the wicked talks about a righteous as an everlasting foundation. Hey, a wise son lives a holy life. Amen? Tries to do it. And listen, I sin and you sin. We all sin. But we ought to do our best to live a holy life, not just I just live any way I want. I do whatever I want. No. A wise son is a righteous son. Number two, a wise son is a faithful son. A faithful son. As vinegar to the teeth, verse 26, and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to him that sends him. Don't be an unfaithful son. Be a son that someone can count on. I think about my teenager and my kids at home. Sometimes I give them something to do and I'll say, hey, I want you to do this or that. And I'll come back and it won't be done. Well, they're teenagers, that happens, right? They get distracted or they forget. How often has God told us to do something or told us to live a certain way or be a certain way, and we don't do it? We don't want to be that way. We want to be a faithful son. Number three, a wise son is a son who fears God. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Listen, if I were you, I'd be afraid of criticizing another pastor. I'd be afraid of criticizing the president. I'd be afraid of criticizing my parents. I'd pray for him instead. Because I think that that's a fear of the Lord there. All right, lastly here, number four here. A wise son is a son that speaks wisely. Verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. That word frowardness means rebellion. You see, a wise son uses his words to encourage. A wise son speaks things that are acceptable. So tonight, what is the anatomy of a foolish son? Rebellious, lazy, scornful. Oh, may we not live that way. May we never, ever, ever be scornful. May we strive to work hard and not be lazy. Tonight, would you ask yourself as we go to this invitation, just a simple invitation tonight, ask yourself, am I living wisely? Am I being wise or am I being a fool in some way in my life? Am I working hard? Am I having a good attitude at work? Am I doing my best or am I being lazy? Am I being a rebel? Am I speaking idle words against others, against my parents, against my pastor, against God, against others? Or am I being humble and am I being obedient? Am I being a scorner? Am I allowing my contempt for someone else to flow out of my mouth? Or do I visibly and verbally support authority? Oh, may we ask the Lord to help us to be wise and not foolish. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.